We're going to get one more in our series, and we're going to be talking about going to Jesus. So, my question for you this morning is, who are some of the people that we tend to go to for the big things? Like, who do you think of when you have to do something big? For it can be anything. Anybody have any guesses? Want to throw any names out? Maybe like a doctor? Like, huh? A chiropractor. Chiropractors terrify me because I'm pretty sure there's a fine line between popping your neck and you know the other. So it's very rare, but I am so scared. Anyways, chiropractors is a good one. They do help a lot. Police officers, right? You go to police officers in times of need. Dentist, counselors, right? Maybe a pastor, okay, if you want to. No, anyways, you see, all of these are great to go to in times of need, but they can only do so much, right? You see, they all have limits. All of them have limits, and that's because they're human. That's their limit. We really need to go to someone who has no limits, right? We need to go to someone who has no limits. We really need to go to someone like Jesus, okay? We need to go to Jesus first with our need, with our problem. And then, if the Lord leads us to go to the doctor, to the police officer, to the counselor, whoever it might be, then we go, right? We turn to Jesus first. That's what we should do. One of the great hymns from the 1700s calls us to Jesus Christ with these words. You probably have heard it. It says, "Come, ye sinners, poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, love, and power." And then the chorus goes like this. "I will arise and go to Jesus. He will embrace me in his arms. In the arms of my dear Savior, oh, there are 10,000 charms." They're beautiful words, right? And we're going to look at a mother in today's scripture that lived out the truth of these words. And that's what we're going to be looking at. You see, it's interesting, though, because I feel like this happens a lot with the women in the Bible. So sorry, ladies, but we don't even know her name, right? We don't know a lot about her. But that's who we're going to look at, because she's a hero of faith. And she teaches all of us to go to Jesus. So if you haven't turned there yet, I encourage you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 15. That's where we're going to be. Matthew chapter 15, and we're going to be starting in verse 21. As you turn there and you're finding your spot, it's here this morning that we're going to find four reasons that we need to go to Jesus. So, and the first one is this. Go to Jesus when you are desperate. Okay? That's what this mom did in verse 22. But before we get there, I'm going to start in verse 21. So join me there. Chapter 15, verse 21 says this. "After going out from there, Jesus went to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that area came and cried out, 'Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is horribly demon-possessed.'" Now, talk about a desperate situation, right? This mom was in a desperate situation. The mother's younger daughter was severely tormented by a demon, it says. And you see, desperate times, they come to all of us at some point, don't they? They do. And many of us here have been through many desperate situations, have already gone through desperate times. So my question is for us this morning is, why do the desperate times come? Why do they come? Why do they have to come? Okay? So that's what we're going to look at here in this first section. And sometimes they come because of our weakness. Okay? You see, humans have a tendency to think that they're stronger than they are, especially young humans, right? We tend to think we're stronger than we actually are. It comes with wisdom, then we realize, well, we're not actually that strong, right? We think we're stronger than we actually are. But just like this, the situation in the story, there's going to be times when everything we do, everything we try, nothing seems to work, right? We become desperate, right? We've done all we can, but it's not enough. And we realize that there is nothing we can do on our own to make it better. That's when we become desperate. For this woman, her family wasn't able to help her, right? Friends couldn't help her. The priest in her false religion couldn't help her. And she couldn't help herself, right? But thank God that Jesus came her way, right? Thank God that Jesus came in her way, and in her weakness that she went to the Lord, okay? Jesus had to come her way, and she had to be able to go to him. She had to be willing to go to him, okay? So let your weakness drive you to Jesus, okay? Next, sometimes our desperation comes from our sinfulness. Now, we have the example of demon possession here, okay? Which I will tell you, it's a very extreme example, but it's still an example. And you see, demon possession, it doesn't just happen, okay? It doesn't just happen. The mother, you see, was a Canaanite. And her pagan, satanic religion was a wicked fertility cult that also often practiced child sacrifice. I want you to know, all of those things I just said are what we call open doors for the enemy to come in, right? That's welcoming the enemy, okay? Sin had taken a terrible toll on this mother and her precious daughter. And somehow, some way, our sin will take a toll on us too. As the late Christian author Kay Arthur said this, she said, "If you tolerate sin in your life, that sin will not only take you farther than you wanted to go, it will keep you longer than you wanted to stay, and it will cost you more than you thought you'd pay." Kay's right, right? She is. If you allow that sin in your life, it's going to fester more than you ever thought it was going to. It's going to have more of an effect on your life than you ever expected it to have on your life. You may think you're just letting a crack in, but it's more than a crack. You can't let the crack in. This is what this mother was desperately trying to do for her daughter. She was trying to help her daughter, help and save her daughter. So when we get desperate, it may be our fault. It could be our fault. In fact, a lot of times it is our fault. So when we get desperate, go to Jesus. Don't let that keep you from coming to Jesus. Go to him. Thirdly, subpoint here is sometimes our desperation comes from love. Now, it talks about demon possession here, but I think what the mother's really doing in her desperation here is through love, right? A mother's love for her child, right? That's what we're seeing here. And it's a beautiful thing, right? It's beautiful. It's like the story about a mom who had a 13-year-old daughter who was having extra trouble growing up. And you see, this daughter, she was adopted from South Korea. And she didn't know who her parents were. She didn't know, like many people who are adopted. And the this was really bothering the little girl. And then one day, she got braces on her teeth. And I've never had braces, but apparently they're painful as they stretch and move your teeth. But one day she got braces on her teeth, and the day wore on, and they began to really hurt her. There was so much pain. And by bedtime, this little girl, she was just miserable. She was in so much agony and pain in her mouth and her head. And her mom gave her some pain medicines and invited her to snuggle with her for a while. And then soon, the young girl got more comfortable and more drowsy, right? Then she said this. She said, "Mom, I know who my real mom is. It's the one who takes the pain away," right? See, that's what this mom in our scripture reference this morning was doing. She was desperately trying to do this for her daughter, to take that pain away, right? She was trying to stop the hurting. And in her desperation, she did the best thing that any of us could ever do. She went to Jesus. That's what she did. She went to Jesus. So go to Jesus when you're desperate. Next, we need to go to Jesus with great determination. Okay? See, we need to go to Jesus with the kind of unshakable determination we see in this Canaanite woman, Canaanite mother. You see, she faced at least seven discouragements in this story. And I'm not going to share all of them. I'm going to share a couple of them with you this morning. One of the first discouragements was that the demon possession of her daughter, right? That was one determination, discouragement for her, okay? It's a horrible for it to happen to anybody. And that's kind of what she was facing here. Then, one of the second things, the discouragement she was facing was she had to go find Jesus, right? It's not like she had him in her phone and Life 360, oh, where's Jesus at today? Oh, I'm going to go, yep, there he is. Oh, okay, he's over there by the well. I'm going to walk over there. Life didn't work like that, right? She had to physically find him, okay? She had to go to just the right place at just the right time, and it was a sure blessing of God's grace that she even came face to face with Jesus in the first place. Even if she would have found him, she wasn't guaranteed that he would get a face-to-face contact with him. So thank God, though, that we have what? We have the Holy Spirit, and we don't have to chase Jesus around the earth to find him, right? We kind of get to come to him directly. So praise the Lord for that. Another hindrance was the fact that this Canaanite mother was, well, a woman, okay? See, women were looked on as property in that day. And most proper Jewish men wouldn't even have spoke to her because that would have gone against what they thought was right. And in verse 23, Jesus gave her the silent treatment, or as verse 23a says, if you want to look at it, but it says this, but he did not answer her a word. Okay? Now, it seems like he's giving her the silent treatment, right? And if we were in her situation, it would seem like he's giving us the silent treatment. But in the end, we can see that our gracious Lord was actually proving her faith. But I want to iterate, she didn't know that, okay? She didn't know that that's what he was doing. Then in verse 23, it says this, then his disciples came and begged him, send her away because she keeps on crying out after us. Okay? Now, the original word for cries out here is a totally different word that was used in verse 22 when she was crying out. When she was crying out, she was desperately crying out to Jesus for help. But in verse 23, the disciples use a different word for crying out. And it was more of an insulting word, okay? In their minds, this heartbroken woman, she sounded like a squawking, noisy bird to them. She was annoying them, right? Basically. And it was bothering them. And also, the Lord's disciples wanted nothing to do with this mother for more than reasons than she was just being annoying, okay? It wasn't just because they were too busy or they were too tired why they didn't want to deal with her. It was mostly because most Jews of that day, they hated the Canaanites. See, they thought people like her were the scum of the earth. They didn't want to have anything to do with them, right? You didn't associate with them. You walked as far away apart when you were passing each other as you could, right? That's what you did. See, this woman, she had to overcome all of these discouragements. That's what she had to do. And I'm going to share one more. In verse 24, it says this. She answered, I was sent, or so he answered her, referring back to her, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. This was another discouragement she had to deal with, right? Here Jesus, of course, is simply stating the fact that in God's perfect plan, that the Lord sent him specifically to deal with Israel first, right? The Israel, the Jewish people first. But we know that, of course, after his crucifixion and resurrection, Jesus told his followers to spread the gospel all over the world. That includes us now. And we also know that in a minute or two, the Lord would fully heal this woman's broken heart by healing her beloved daughter. And in this verse, Jesus again is simply giving this mother another opportunity to deepen, to express faith in him, right? But again, I want to iterate. She did not know this, right? We know all this. We see the end of the story. We know this, the everything that comes in between. But she had no idea what was going on. Okay? You see, the same kind of thing can happen to us in verse 26. When Jesus basically called her a dog. So join me there at verse 26. There Jesus answered her and said this. It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Okay, how many of you have a dog at home? Yeah? We don't have a dog. I was so happy to get rid of our dog. Sorry, boys. We celebrated hard. Oh, no, it wasn't that bad. So dogs, right? You guys love your dog. Wesley? Taylan? Almost called you your sister name. Y'all love your dog, don't you? Yeah? Would you believe me if back then people did not like dogs? They thought they were awful, okay? Dogs in the Middle East were despised animals, okay? They were scavengers, and they would often eat out of people's garbage, which they still do, but we seem to like them for that, I don't know. Cats more, yeah. I don't like cats either. But they were even considered to be almost as bad as pigs, okay? And pigs were almost as low as you can get, right? People did not like them. So what is Jesus trying to do here? What is Jesus' end game here? Was he trying to get her to quit praying to him? Did he want her to stop crying out to him? Well, obviously, we know the answer is no. You see, the Lord was stretching her and giving her more opportunities to express her faith in him. He surely wanted her to keep crying out to him with unshakable determination. That's what his goal was. And that's the way God wants us to pray. He wants us to come to him through faith. This mom faced seven great discouragements, but she never gave up. She went to Jesus with unshakable determination, and that's what God wants us to do too. So don't let anybody or anything stop you from crying out to Jesus. Amen? Don't let anything stop you. We have to go to Jesus with great determination. Thirdly, this morning, go to Jesus with humble devotion. Okay. Now, this Canaanite mother, she gives us a great picture of humble devotion because she never rose up in pride or anger, right? She had many opportunities to rise up in pride and anger, didn't she? Even when the Lord seemed to ignore her, she didn't do it. Even when the disciples openly rejected her, she didn't do it. Or even when the Lord basically called her a dog, she didn't do it. right? In verse 25, it says this. But she came and bowed down before him and said, Lord, help me. See, church, she worshiped the Lord. That's what she did. And she worshiped the Lord because she had a heart full of worship. See, all real worship, it starts where? It starts in our heart. Okay? And the original word pictures for worship can help us see this more clearly. In the Old Testament, the main word that was used for worship there is a picture of us bowing down before the Lord. Now, don't get me wrong. Bowing down is great before the Lord. It's something we should do. We should bow before the Lord. He is reverent. He deserves us to bow down before him. Okay? We humbly bow down to God, the God of reverence and honor, so richly that he deserves. But now the most common word in the New Testament for worship is the word that we see here in verse 25. And this word means to kiss. Okay? Now I'm not meaning like a kiss on the hand like someone would do for a king or anything. It's an intimate kiss. One that you would be done with a loved one, right? Who do we kiss? Husbands kiss their wives. Parents kiss their kids. Right? We kiss the people we're closest to. We kiss the people that we love. That's what this is here. And this is the point of God using the word for worship. She loved him. She worshiped him so much. She wasn't just bowing to him. She was showing her affection to him in a way of worship. Because he's worthy of our worship, church. This Canaanite mother worshiped Jesus, but I want you to notice that there was some pain in her worship, right? Because in verse 25, what is she doing? She says, Lord, help me, right? When you're in pain, you ask for what? Help. In other words, she's saying, Lord, I'm really hurting, but I worship you because I believe in your compassion and power. You see, did you know that you don't, we don't have to feel great to worship God. We don't have to feel amazing to be able to worship God. That's not how it works. We can worship him even when we're in pain. Did you know that? We can do that. There was pain in her worship, but there was also praise. And we know this because she called him Lord, right? She spoke to who he was as a person, as a heavenly being, Lord. Because Jesus Christ is Lord, amen? He is the Lord. He's the King of all kings. And he's the Lord of all lords. And this mother rightly thought Jesus was worthy of her worship. And she thought this because, of course, she probably heard stories, right? We've talked about them up to this point, right? About how Jesus had turned water into wine, right? How he already had cast out many demons before this point. How he had healed the blind, right? How he had healed the deaf and those who could not speak. You see, Jesus had healed leprosy and restored paralyzed people to health. A couple weeks ago, we talked about him feeding the 5,000 with just 5 loaves and 2 fish. Jesus has even raised people from the dead already. These are the stories I'm sure she's heard, right? Also, no doubt she had also heard of the Lord's compassion. How he came to seek and save the lost. How he loved sinners and the outcast of society, right? Like Matthew, the hated tax collector for the Romans, or the Samaritan woman at the well who had been married 5 times, right? He loved them. This Canaanite mother must have heard how Jesus called them to a new life for him. And you know what she did through that? She believed. She believed that Jesus was everything that he said he was. So worship the Lord, because Jesus Christ is worthy of our worship. That's why we have to go to him with humble devotion. And lastly, this morning, we need to go to Jesus with deep faith. Okay? We need to go to Jesus with deep faith. Go to Jesus trusting in His power, in His compassion with all your heart. That's what we have to do. I want you to listen to verse 26 through 28. Join me there in your Bible. It says this. "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs," he said. "Yes, Lord," she replied, "but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, your faith is great. Let what you want be done for you." And her daughter was healed from that hour. I just love this woman's attitude, right? She has a way better attitude than I probably would have had in that same situation. Even in the face of great discouragement, she was still looking for an open door. She was still looking at the possibilities, right? She still believed that she could find God's blessing. That's what she believed. But much more important than all of that, than me liking her attitude, guess what? Jesus liked her attitude too. Jesus was awfully impressed with this woman's attitude. And she gets a promotion. Did you know that? She gets a promotion here, right? Verse 28 tells us that just a few seconds ago, she was called what? A dog, basically. And she went from being called a dog to be called a woman of what? A woman of great faith. Sounds like a great promotion in my book. A woman of great faith. Wouldn't we love to hear the Lord tell us that? Wouldn't we love to hear, "Randall, you're a man of great faith"? That would be exhilarating to hear those words from Jesus himself. Well, guess what? She got to hear those words from Jesus himself. We want to hear those words from Jesus. We have to keep going to Him. And it's important for us to remember that our faith, guess what? It should be much greater than her faith today. Today, our faith should be greater than her faith then. Because what do we have that she did not have? We have the cross of Christ. We have the story. None of that had happened yet. She was believing Jesus was who she thought he was before he even died on the cross, before he even rose from the dead, right? She believed before all that. We have that truth before us. We have it. We can have great faith in Jesus Christ because he is our great Savior. So keep going to Jesus Christ in faith, and you will see demonstrations of his power. And sometimes you may see a miracle. I wanted to put this in because it's always important to remember that God does miracles. Amen. In 1953, over in Grimms, Iowa. Anybody know where that's at? Looking at... Oh, Pam does. I was looking at Dan. I assumed he would know. Okay. Pam and Dan. Grimms, Iowa. There was a lady named Violet Cross. And she was dealing with... She was just getting sicker every single day. And finally, her eldest son, Frank, insisted that she go to the doctor. And eventually, she ended up at the large teaching hospital in Iowa City. Okay? And the diagnosis for her was devastating. See, even though Violet had never smoked once in her life, she had lung cancer. She was dying of lung cancer. And the doctor said that one of her lungs was already gone, and the other one was rapidly being devoured by the cancer. That was her diagnosis. And the doctor sent her home offering no real solution. There was really nothing they could do for her. They basically told her that you'll have 6 months of pain, but you would ultimately just die. Okay? But that Sunday after, Violet went down to kneel at the altar of her tiny church. And there she begged God and prayed this. She said, "Please, God, let me see my girls finish high school." She had two girls that hadn't graduated yet. Well, after that prayer, she began to feel better, right? And she was able to see her girls graduate. She was able to see them both get married. She was also able to see grandchildren born. Okay? In fact, she 18 grandchildren were there to help celebrate Violet and her husband's 50th wedding anniversary. Right? 38 years later, after the doctors had given her 6 months to live, Violet's two healthy lungs breathed their last. Remember, the doctor said one was already gone. But she ended her life with two healthy lungs. What a miracle. What a praise to God for him doing something for one of his children here on earth. All good things are possible with God, church. So keep going to Jesus. As I close this morning, how many of you like to use your GPS? I'm a big fan of GPS. I know that may be like, oh, you don't like to do you like to rely on GPS. Yes, I do. I love my GPS. I love it when we travel mainly, going places, because I don't know. I remember the days of printing out the MapQuest directions and having that holding as I'm driving, which was terrible, but that's what you did. GPS is great. It helps you get from one point to another. And guess what? If you take a wrong turn, what does your GPS do? Recalculating. Oh, you're already back ready to go on to your destination. It's fixed it for you. You see, we need to put Jesus into the GPS of our lives. Right? Because we have one destination we need to get to, and that's to Jesus. Put him in, and that GPS will get you right there. And that GPS, aka, is the Holy Spirit. But he'll get you there. Because if we're lost and lonely, if we're guilty, sick, scared, worried, or desperate, that's where we need to go. But not just in the bad times. We need to go to him in the good times, too. Keep going to the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, each and every day. Now, we're going to end singing a song. We're actually going to sing the song I mentioned at the beginning of my sermon, Come Ye Sinners, but it's going to be a 21st century version of upbeat. Well, it's actually not upbeat. It's probably a little less upbeat than the original hymn. But I encourage you to stand with me this morning as we sing and close with this song. So let's sing this together.